Foundations Lesson Number 7, Sharing the Gospel Message, Part 4. Turning over to the second page of our outline, we see that personal contact is another necessary ingredient in sharing the gospel message. Before we get into the matter of what to do and what not to do when engaging in personal contact, I'd like to bring up something even more basic. I don't think anyone would argue that in much of the church today, efforts to see unbelievers born into the kingdom of God aren't bearing a whole lot of fruit. Part of the reason for this has to do with our hurrying off to do the work without first spending time seeking the Lord. God wants us to be a part of what He's doing, not the other way around. He's not looking for people who make their plans, ask Him to bless their plans, and then rush off to carry out their plans. He's looking for people who'll carry out His plans. Carrying out His plans, first of all, entails finding out what those plans are. I always get concerned when I hear Christians talk about what they're doing for God. Some believers reason that since, before salvation, they were, say, in the entertainment business for the devil, now they want to be in the entertainment business for God. Whereas there may be a noble motive to that idea, it falls far short of living under the lordship of Christ. What if the Almighty actually wanted them now to be a painter or an accountant? When we receive Christ as our Lord, it's not as if we made a list entitled, "What I Will Do for God," signed our commitment to it, and then handed it to the Lord. That's not what God's looking for from us. What He wants is for us to leave the list blank, sign our commitment to it, and then have Him fill it in. Finding out what He's put on that list requires prayer. As Jesus has said, "Ask and it will be given to you." So the first step for you to engage in successful evangelism is for you to find out from God what His plans are for you in that area. Having said that, I'd like to read from our outline on the how-tos of personal contact. It says, "The Bible contains many stories of people who led others into a living personal relationship with the Lord. Andrew was so thrilled at finding Jesus that he found his brother Peter and introduced him to Jesus. Paul and Silas spoke to a jailer at midnight, preventing him from committing suicide and leading him and his family to the Lord. Jesus spoke to a puzzled rabbi at night, a woman outcast at noon, and many others. Wherever we find ourselves, God may be wanting us to share the gospel message. Here are some practical considerations on how this can be done best." The first entry on our outline exhorts us to make the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 16 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Jesus never wasted an opportunity. When I was a new believer, I was amazed to read how Jesus handled interruptions. One of the more intriguing examples of this took place on an occasion when four men dug through the roof and then lowered a paralyzed man down on a mat to where Jesus was preaching. I find it significant that the scripture records nothing about Jesus' message that day. It only records how He handled the interruption to His message. Of course, we have to be careful to discern when an interruption is of the Lord and when it's just a distraction, but we also have to be flexible enough to put our well-prepared plans on hold when it's appropriate. A woman was teaching a Sunday school class of third graders. She noticed how one of the boys kept taking a shiny new whistle out of his pocket. Finally, the lad couldn't help himself, and he blew the whistle. Everyone looked at him. He was embarrassed. But the teacher asked him to do it again, this time a nice long blast on the whistle. A little surprised, the boy complied. When he finished, she told her class that one day the trumpet of the Lord will sound and Jesus will return. Just like the blast from the whistle was unexpected, no one will know the day or the hour of Jesus' return. Then she told her class that they all needed to be ready, and many of the children responded with deep repentance under the conviction of the Lord. Next on our outline, we need to relate deeply to people's circumstances. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, the Apostle Paul writes this, Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. Here Paul, the author of the book of 1 Corinthians, writes how he went out of his way to identify with his hearers so he could better share the gospel message with them. Jesus also set the example in relating deeply to us. I invite you to picture him enjoying the glories of heaven, being worshipped by the angels, overseeing creation with his Father. Then, in the next instant, he was a fertilized egg cell in the womb of a teenager. Picture yourself having to make that transition. That would be the ultimate in culture shock. But that's what he did, gladly, so that he could fully relate to you and to me. Another important aspect of sharing the gospel message is our being sensitive to the needs of the people we're talking to. Mark chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. When the teachers of the law who were Pharisees saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus here spent time with people based on their need, not based on who he would have enjoyed hanging out with. God is deeply concerned with each human on the planet and their spiritual needs, as well as physical needs, emotional needs, and other needs, are deeply important to him. The gospel message will have a much greater impact in the lives of our hearers if it's accompanied by a compassionate demonstration of caring for their needs. Some would argue that it's not natural for them to find ways of meeting other people's needs. Actually, the ability to get past ourselves and serve someone else isn't natural for anyone. That means we have to learn, we have to change, we have to work at it. If we do our part, God will always be faithful to do his. The scripture also exhorts us to be good listeners. James 1:19. "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." A friend of mine used to say, "God has given us 2 ears, but only one mouth. That should tell us something." Perhaps learning to listen twice as much as we talk would be beneficial for many of us. I recall watching a video clip of a very gifted evangelist sharing the gospel message with a young man. I have to admit that I cringed as I watched the evangelist interrupt the young man he was interviewing 3 times in the space of about 15 seconds. Fortunately, the young man didn't just walk away. I understand the temptation for us to feel so passionate about the message we're trying to share that we consciously or unconsciously feel it doesn't matter all that much how we're treating the people we're trying to convince. But that's a huge mistake because it's not God's priority. We need to be every bit as passionate about engaging people with the love and respect of the Lord as we are about sharing the message of the Lord with them. It's also important for us to be consistent between what we say and how we live. We can't expect the people around us to listen to us talking about God if we're living like the devil. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said this, 1 Corinthians 10:33 through 11:1. "Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Paul wasn't perfect. None of us are. But he was so deeply committed to pleasing God that he could, in clear conscience, tell his readers that they would do well to follow his example. I personally believe that Christians who aren't surrendered to God have done more damage to the church than all the cults and man-made religions combined. Our lives must be lived under the lordship of Christ if our message is to have the impact it needs to have. Then, as we've already mentioned, we're told to be gentle and respectful in sharing the gospel message, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Continuing on our outline, a few points are given on how not to share the gospel message. It's natural for Christians to be repulsed by sin. Of course, we need to be every bit as disgusted with the sin in our own lives as we are with the sin in the world. Nonetheless, in our adverse reactions to sin, we need to be very careful not to project those adverse reactions onto the people we're sharing the gospel message with, who may be engaged in that sin. As the old saying goes, love the sinner, hate the sin. I invite you to study how Jesus handled the sinners he came in contact with. I believe you'll find rich examples of mercy and graciousness. Granted, he was very strong and direct with the religious leaders, but they were claiming to represent God, and they had the wherewithal to know better. Condemning people for their sin doesn't put them in a frame of mind or heart to want God. As James 2:13 says, "Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Two believers, a woman in her late 20s and a young man who was a college student, were paired up to walk up and down a beach to start conversations about God. They came across a group of three people, a man and two women, and they were able to have a vibrant conversation with them about spiritual matters. The woman even exchanged phone numbers with two of them before they went on their separate ways. After the conversation was over, the college student told the woman he'd been paired up with how disappointed he was that only two of the essential four truths had been shared and that they were even presented in the wrong order. So the woman asked him to recall the names of the three people they'd just talked to. He didn't know a single name. Perhaps that's a particularly blatant case of insensitivity, but that's what happens when we're so focused on what we want to say that we fail to care about the people we're talking to. We also need to remember that our message is not that we have it all together. Our message is that we know the one who does. I'm grateful for the encouragement believers gain after walking with the Lord for a while. They see that their life is now different. They enjoy the benefits of knowing better how to navigate the complexities of their existence. That's wonderful. But all of us have to remember that every change that's taken place in our lives since salvation has been by the grace of God. If we fall into the trap of thinking that we did it, then we'll think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And as a natural result of that pride, we'll consider others inferior. Then, looking down at others, we'll end up offending them instead of helping them. So let's always be careful in our thoughts and in our attitudes to give credit where credit is due. The Apostle Paul has written to the church in Thessalonica, and I'm quoting 1 Thessalonians 2:8. "We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." God has called us to be authentic, servant-hearted people, sharing not only the gospel of God, but also ourselves. As we embrace that call, we won't fall into the trap of treating unsaved people as evangelistic projects rather than people, or of saying evangelism is something we do, and I quote, "on Thursday nights at 7. Instead, it'll become a natural part of who we are, an outflow of the love of God. If we believers really got to know the spiritually lost people around us, we would talk about faith much more naturally. Sharing the gospel message would become more of a conversation and less of a high-pressure sales pitch. Amen.